Today's gospel text reminds me of a story that Susan Thomas once told. Susan served as pastor here at UniLu from 1983 to 1995. To make sure the details in my mind were accurate, I emailed Susan, who responded promptly. So here, in her words, is the story. Michael and I, early in our marriage, probably in September of 1972, which parenthetically is when I first came to the East and to UniLu. She continues, Michael and I made a trip from Minnesota to visit St. Olaf friends Charlie and Barb in Cambridge. Charlie was a second or third year student at Harvard Divinity School at the time. While there, we attended the opening chapel Eucharist offered by Dean Christer Stendahl. Charlie noted there were more people present at the service than usual. We gathered in a circle, and Christer began serving the bread, placing it with care into each uplifted hand. Michael and I stood at about the three-quarter mark in the circle, and I saw that the bread was fast disappearing. What will happen if there isn't enough for everyone, I wondered. Should I decline so that someone else can be served? Meanwhile, Christer calmly made his way toward us, showing no anxiety, and I received the bread in my hand because his demeanor and the words given for you somehow didn't allow for anything else. I was vigilant as he proceeded to the remaining worshipers, his back toward me as he completed the circle. Then he turned toward the altar, and there was bread left over on the paten, enough and more than enough. The feeding of the multitude is the only miracle story that is told by all four gospel writers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Matthew and Mark each additionally have a narrative of the feeding of the 4,000. With today's gospel, we leave, for a while, the Gospel of Mark, which is the focus gospel for Year B, the second of three lectionary cycles. For each of 5 weeks, we read a portion of the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. Today we have the feeding of the 5,000. The next 4 weeks focus on Jesus' discourse on the bread of life. So I hope you like bread, because there's going to be a lot of it. In today's gospel story, Jesus goes up the mountain and sits down with the disciples. Looking up, Jesus sees a large crowd coming toward them. Unlike the stories in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's no indication here in John that the people are hungry because they have been listening to teaching all day, or for 3 days, as in one account. It's as if, as soon as the crowd arrived, Jesus puts on the coffee pot, as it were. It is only in John's gospel that Jesus is the one who takes the initiative and asks the question about where to buy bread to feed the people. In response to the question, Philip does the calculations, considers the practical realities of the situation, and concludes that they can't afford it. Resources are just too scarce to solve this problem. Camille Skellick, in her blog post on Grace Table, speaks about living out of scarcity mode rather than abundant offering. She writes, Do you ever feel this need to live life in scarcity mode rather than one of abundant offering? When I open up our fridge, I begin rationing out the food out of fear that I will use up everything too quickly and be without. But what happens in my attempt to control and operate out of scarcity? Food spoils and goes rancid. Following upon Philip's response about the cost of buying enough food, the disciple Andrew now comes forward. In the words of podcasters Rob McCoy and Eric Fistler, Andrew at least had an idea. It was an absurdly small idea, but he was creative enough to put it out there. At which point, Andrew introduces the child with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. The inclusion of the child with the lunch, unique to John's version of the story, has long been one of my favorite bits. Andrew then adds, But what is this small offering among so many people? Perhaps, though, no one has told the child that the barley bread and the fishes are not enough. In reflecting on this text, commentator Brian Stoffrington shares a related story. A few years ago, some friends were in a large city. They drove by a park that had numerous homeless people. Their young daughter, around 4 years old at the time, asked about the people. Answered the mother, They are homeless. They have no place to sleep. They have nothing to eat. Well, why don't we feed them? Asked the daughter in all her innocence. Why don't we feed them? Once Andrew introduces the child, Jesus says, Make the people sit down. So the people sit, all 5,000 of them. Taking the loaves, Jesus gives thanks and then distributes them to those who are seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. Did you catch that? There was a great deal of grass in the place. And did you also catch that Jesus distributes as much as they wanted? The people eat and are satisfied, so satisfied, in fact, that there is a surplus from leftovers. Brian Stauffergen notes, how often have we stressed the difference between wants and needs? Here Jesus gives the people what they wanted. The amount of food goes beyond what they needed. In addition, as mentioned earlier, we are never told that the people were hungry or in need of food. It was Jesus who decided that they should eat. It's not about what the people want or need. It's about what Jesus wants to personally give. Also, John's version is the only one that specifies barley loaves. There are 36 individual references to barley in the Bible, from Exodus to Revelation. Barley is harvested earlier than wheat and is cheaper than wheat. Barley was used as food for animals, but barley bread was used chiefly among the poor. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the word for fish is ichthus. In John, however, it is opsarion. Biblical scholar Raymond E. Brown notes, opsarion is a double diminutive of opson, cooked food eaten with bread. The meaning became more specifically fish, especially dried or preserved fish. In other words, this is not fresh fish. The food offered by the child is thus a lunch that the poor might have eaten. But even so, with Jesus it is more than enough. Let no one despise your youth, says the author of 1 Timothy. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Let us not despise our youth, whether it is the child who in good faith offers a lunch to Jesus, or the contemporary four-year-old who wants to feed the homeless. Let us not despise the youth of the four young people, August, Mark, Neil, and Tor, who with Pastor Kerry Joe attended the recent ELCA youth gathering in Houston, and who will be sharing their witness with us in a few weeks. Let us not despise the youth of Chris Rood, a former Harvard Divinity School intern at UNILU, who with faith and a vision, and with many invitations and much coalition building, was the impetus for UNILU's offering sanctuary to Anna and her daughters Erica and Brianna. According to the text, it is Jesus who distributes the loaves and also the fish. But unless there is still another miracle at work here, the size of the crowd suggests that, in the words of scholar Raymond Brown, this is a simplification and that the synoptics, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are correct in involving the disciples in the action. Which reminds me of a program emphasis the ELCA has every September that is called God's Work, Our Hands. God's Work, Our Hands is scheduled this year for September 9th, and September 9th just happens to be the day for the block party, a day when we will be raising funds for the Interfaith Meal Packing event in November, which I think makes a nice connection back to our story. I turn once again to Susan Thomas. At the end of her story, she adds, afterwards, we discussed what had happened with our friends Charlie and Barb, who also had noticed the scarcity of bread. This is the sort of thing that gave rise to the feeding miracle stories, Charlie, the schooled Harvard Divinity student, said. Susan asks, but which came first, I wondered then, as I do still, the stories told about the feeding of the multitudes, or the lived experience of being given more than enough, even when things are scarce? She concludes, each must have fed the other. But what are your stories? I invite you now to imagine that you are one of the characters in today's feeding story. But first, who are the characters in today's story? With which character in the story do you most identify this morning? That might change later today or tomorrow. Are you Philip, the one who assesses the situation and calculates the cost of a project? Are you Andrew, the one who identifies others' gifts and talents for ministry? Are you the young child, offering what you have, though it might seem insignificant? Are you a member of the crowd, a witness to and recipient of a miracle? Are you one of the disciples that gathers up the leftovers so that nothing is lost? Are you Jesus? Are you the great deal of grass or the land? As you think about your character, try to imagine the setting. What are you wondering about? What questions do you have? What is going through your head? What are you feeling? What do you notice? What do you want to have happen? I invite you now to take a few minutes to share your story with someone next to you. Please feel free to move as necessary. At the end of a few minutes, I'll ring the cymbals to gather us back together. After the 5,000 are fed, they want to force Jesus to be their king. Perhaps they view Jesus as a kind of divine vending machine. But they may also sense that Jesus, in the words of one of our hymns, would be a different kind of king. Podcasters McCoy and Fissler point out that bread was a way for kings to enforce their power. The distribution and withholding of bread is a way for those in power to keep their power, something that is still happening. Witness the current debate over the farm bill. It is estimated that the House version of this would knock around 1.2 million people off of SNAP, that is, of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. What are we to do? What can we do when faced with so much need in our community and across the globe? Need that seems to be that is growing more urgent every day. How effective are our efforts among so many emergencies? What do we do when attendance isn't what it used to be? What are we among so many needy people? Writing in a recent issue of Living Lutheran, Pastor Nelson Rabel Gonzalez reflects, "If the mission is overwhelming and resources are scarce, we are told to use what is available. In this case, the resources were a small amount of food, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish from a small child. With faith and confidence in God, Jesus stretches the food to feed the crowd and even has leftovers." Rabel Gonzalez continues, "Sometimes less is better. In a time when church attendance and membership is declining, it may be that the future church won't have universities, fancy agencies, or beautiful buildings. It may be that the future church has only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. If that's all we have, we'll still be okay, because we have Jesus, the great I Am, the one who is both our source of hope and our hope, the one who is our heavenly bread. Jesus says to us, 'It is I am. Do not be afraid. I have come that you may have life and have life abundantly.' So now, when we leave this place, let us go forth unafraid and live. Live abundantly, live voraciously, live freely, live hopefully. Live in the trust that in our lives, when the strong winds blow and the waters become rough, when the sea seems so big and our boat so small, and when we come across problems that seem too immense, we stop and remember, 5 barley loaves, 2 fish, a multitude fed. And we remember the love of God in Christ Jesus, who was and who is and who continues to be our source of sustenance now and forever. Amen."